So anyway, let's come round the word. You know, I was on Zoom yesterday with African pastors and Africans and Indians. And so this thing's global that we do. And it's called a shepherd's mentoring. But it's not only shepherds who get mentored. Anyone from any walk of life can zoom in on this. And it's a beautiful thing. But if I've ever needed waking up over the last couple of weeks, I was in the States at a conference with Phil and Carol, and being on Zoom yesterday, I've come to this conclusion: how you can have so little to say, and yet so it blesses so many people, because there isn't this wealth of teaching and preaching. There's a lot of preaching and teaching, but I'm talking about wealth. Wealthy, in other words, substance, quality, in a lot of teaching. And yet you don't have to say an awful lot in some parts of the world for people to be really blessed and thankful. And sometimes, you know, if you've been trained at one level, and then you go to this level, and you realize when someone's talking at that level, yeah, I know that, yeah, I know that, I know that. But yet how much it really means to somebody. Doesn't make you better because you're up there. It just means that's the level we're at. But it really means an awful lot to some people. And I've realized that my time with God and what God has entrusted to me, much is required. Not little. Much is required from what I've received and what you've received. Much is required. So when I and you go into your relationship with God, you go into your relationship at the level that you're at. Does that make sense? But when you find somebody else who knows less than you, it's amazing. You sometimes, you don't think you know a lot, but until you start talking to somebody who knows even less than you. And when you talk to somebody who knows less than you, your little seems an awful lot. And it's almost like, your cup overflows and blesses other people. And I've learned that people are hungry and thirsty around the world. They're just not always hungry and thirsty in the Western world. In the Western world, we've become so nonchalant about the things of God. But around the world, people are hungry and thirsty and desperate. Hello? It's so true. But God has been speaking. And that's a good time to say amen. I like the idea that God speaks. Because if God doesn't speak, I've got nothing to say. You can be found saying lots of things, but God's not saying anything. Anyway, I want to bring you to what I believe God is saying to us. And it's going to sound strange after last week. But it's going to be perfect because this is what God's saying. Are you ready for this? Now, let me just take you back a little while. When COVID originally struck and our nation was on the brink of or our nation had been closed down, we all remember those days, don't we? And we were doing church on Zoom. Yeah? God had spoken to me just before before the nation was being shut down, because we knew shutdown was coming. We just didn't know when it was coming. Because our news kept telling us it's going to happen and we kept getting progress reports and all that kind of stuff. And we knew it was coming. And I began to, as I was talking to the Lord about what do we do, what do we do? The Lord began to speak to me. He said, change is coming in a way that you don't understand. And God began to speak to me about the changes that would take place in the Dream Center. He said, this will happen, that will happen, it will happen in them, and it will happen in her, and it will happen in him. So, okay, God begins to speak to me about some of the changes that's going to take place. But there was a part that I wasn't prepared for. And I'm sure, you know, you also had some ideas of what would change, what might change. But you were never fully prepared for the changes that took place. People didn't handle lockdown well. Some people thought, hey, man, I could live like this all for the rest of my life. Do you know, actually, lockdown for me was probably one of my most productive stages in my life. But I didn't like it. But But I realized I was able to utilize it and draw good from it, even though everybody else was having a very, very different experience. And God began to speak to me. But what I didn't prepare for, do you know what it was? I didn't prepare for the attacks that would come on our leadership. Now, funny enough, Phil and I was listening to a pastor only a couple of weeks ago who said exactly the same thing. And I've heard pastors say simultaneously they didn't expect some of the attacks that would come on them during lockdown. Wow. God spoke to me about some of the changes that would take place in the house, but he didn't tell me all that was going to happen during lockdown. That's good, because faith is required. And I remember one night in particular. And the reason why I can say this is because I don't normally have this experience, but this experience was profound beyond imagination. And I had a dream. Now, in the Bible, it says old man dream. So I guess I've qualified for OLD. I'm officially OLD now. And if it means I get dreams, that's fine. I wasn't dreaming of a beautiful young lady. No, I wasn't. I've already got one. I had this dream, and in this dream, it was profound. I want to explain it to you because it makes perfect sense. Now, in this dream, I was in a medieval setting. And I knew in the dream that I was coming out of a battle. And I can still see it now, as clear as I'm talking to you. I can see myself on a horseback with chainmail. Anybody know what chainmail is? And I could see myself on horse riding, and I knew that I'd been in a most ferocious battle. And I also knew that there were some people with me, but I didn't know who was with me, but I knew there was people behind me. That makes sense? And all I could see was me riding through the forest. And I knew in this scene that I'd been separated in the midst of a battle, and we was looking to regroup from the rest who had been separated from the battle. Does this make sense? And I remember the word coming to me in the midst of the forest. And this is the word that the Lord gave me at that time. He said, preserve your strength and preserve the strength of the OLDs. This is what God said to me. Don't worry about the young ones. The young ones have got strength enough because they're young. But you, my son, preserve your strength and preserve the strength of the older people, because you will re-engage and go back into battle. And then I woke up. And as I woke up, I knew exactly what God was saying, because now COVID was that battle, and what the church was going through, in fact, what the whole world was going through, was affecting everybody differently. And I knew the church, we were divided in the sense of, not divided, we're against each other, but we could not meet together. And our only time for meeting together was on Zoom. And then some people don't put the cameras on, so you can't see them. And I don't like that. I don't like that at all. I know why some people do it, but I don't like it, because if I'm there, I'm there. Show me your face. Now, I know if you've got data problems, you'll think it's easier to use it just by sounding it as on picture. So I understand why people do it. I understand why some people do it. And I understand why some people do it. Yeah? But I knew that I was not defeated. But I knew that I'd been in a battle. And I knew that we'd been separated. And I knew the hordes of hell were coming against us. And I'm sure you might be able to share a similar kind of, you might be able to identify with that. But that was my picture. But thank God, God spoke. Thank God, God spoke. So the first thing I did was, during COVID, I'm going to give you a phrase now. Are you ready for this? We had to give some things a silent funeral. In a moment like that, you can let some things die. You can bring them to an end naturally. Because in COVID, we couldn't meet, so some things stopped. That's called a silent funeral. It's the perfect time to stop some things because you can't do them. And then by the time you reconvene, it seems so long you've done it, it seems pointless to carry on doing it. Yeah? It's called a silent funeral. And God began to show me, take away all the front line commitments. Preserve the life of the OLDs. Preserve your strength. That's the command. Two commands. Preserve your strength. Preserve the strength of the older people. Now, if you don't fall, only I know who falls under an OLD. Anybody older than me. Anybody older than me falls under that bracket of OLD. However, you know, I realize that you must keep your strength when strength is being challenged. Keep your energy when energy, when other things around you is drawing on your energy, you must preserve your energy. Now, when you're young, you think you've got energy to burn, and you have. But as you get older, you realize our energy comes in short supply. And then you have to go to the gym and train and work muscle. So you have to put more energy in to have extra energy out. I can't do the things you do. Some of you younguns do. But guess what? I'm still doing some of the things you younguns do. I'm still climbing mountains. Albeit it was in a fashion. But I got to the top. I'm still cycling. Albeit it's in a fashion. I do things in a fashion. That fashion's called style. I do it in a style, a different style. It's creative. But I get there in the end. And you must keep your strength when strength is under threat. Why? Because lack of strength, listen, lack of strength will expire you. You will expire if you have no strength. Some of you are losing your strength. And you're in danger of expiring. You must keep the strength. The Bible says the Lord is my strength. You must keep God's strength inside of you or you will expire. I don't want to go on to, see, I'm this hybrid kind of person. I have God's power and I have my natural power. So do you, right? And the moment I have none of God's power, I go natural. And some of us want to drive on natural power more than rely on God's power. And I need both. I need both. God says, I've given you natural power to do natural things. I've given you supernatural power to do the things I've asked you that need to be done supernaturally. And I need both. I need renewable energies at my age. I can't be burning fossil fuels. I need to find ways of renewing my energy. And you do. And you think, well, Pastor, you're talking like an old man. No, I'm not an old man. But I know that I'm getting OLD. So I need to preserve the strength. You must keep your health where there's health. Where you've got health, keep it. Because health will determine your strength. Amen? And you must keep your life. Your life will determine your health. Your health will determine your strength. Life, health, and strength is what we all need. Amen? Last week I saw a lot of life. I saw a lot of health and I saw a lot of strength being used. But you know, by the time I went home and we unplugged, thank goodness that was over. But we enjoyed it. It was good. Momentum was in the house. Beautiful. So, because every warrior, the difference between a warrior and a worrier, a worrier will use all their strength on worrying. A warrior uses all their strength for the battle. I don't want to worry. I don't want you to worry. Be anxious about nothing, the scriptures say. But in everything, through prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, make your request known to God. I don't want to worry. I don't want you to worry. That's why the word God has to speak so that we don't worry. So we know the one who's in control. Amen? I want us to be fully buoyant and responsive. Amen? I want us to be fully buoyant and responsive. Anyway, a year has passed now. We're open again. In case you didn't know, we're open. And then the word comes again. That was the word for that season. That was a word for that season. Now you're going to be surprised what the word is. But it's time to get back on the horse. You know that, don't you? Yeah. And let's go to Haggai chapter 1. I want to give the title of this morning's message is Give Careful Thought to Your Ways, Get Back to Work. Give careful thought to your ways and get back to work. Give careful thought to your ways and get back to work. Haggai chapter 1, in the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in paneled houses while this house remains in ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Now, the first thing I want to draw to your attention is how God speaks. How God speaks. God always sees the bigger picture. God always sees past, present, and future. God sees the beginning from the end. You and I see in part. But God sees the past, the present, and the future. So God, that's an amazing leverage to have. Can you imagine if you could see the past, the present, and the future? All your decisions would always be accurate, 100%. And God, in foreknowledge, knows the past, the present, and the future, and he makes his decisions based on what he knows. Yeah? So he never gets it wrong. He's always right, 100% time, because he knows the outcome. That's smart. That's God. For you. God doesn't look on social media to what's going on in the world. God doesn't do TikTok. Doesn't do Facebook. Doesn't do Twitter like Donald Trump. Doesn't tell the world what's going on, what his thoughts are through Twitter. God does it through his word. And through his prophets. Amen. So when God speaks, it has to come through a prophet on the ground. The heavens declare something. God finds a prophet on the ground, or prophets. God begins to speak to a prophet, and a prophet then has to declare what God is saying. Or, as you are reading your word, and you're praying, and you're talking to God, God, through the Holy Spirit, is able to speak to you directly. Now, when God speaks to you directly, he speaks to you directly. But when God speaks to a prophet, he speaks to a wider audience. Amen? God will not speak to you what he speaks to a prophet unless you're a prophet. And God will not speak to the prophet what God is speaking to you, because that's called private. You have an audience with a king. A one-to-one audience with a king. Now, so when the Bible tells us that forever, O Lord, your word is settled. Why is it settled? Because he knows the past, the present, and the future. So when God speaks to you, he speaks from 1,000% assurance and certainty. Yeah? God's not saying, well, I'll see what happens and I'll get back to you. That's not God. God knows exactly. That's why he can instruct us in the way to go. Because he knows the end from the beginning. Anyway, I want to give you a principle this morning. Everybody say this word for me. From, through, and to. From, through, and to. So we'll say from, through, and to. So when God speaks from the heavens. Yeah? From the heavens, God speaks. From the heavens, he speaks through. Through a prophet. The prophet then speaks to the people. Yes? From, through, to. From heaven. Where did that message come from? From heaven. Who did he speak in it through? The prophet. And the prophet then asked us to be told to go and speak to. So here in this scripture, we see that there is a governor, there's a priest, and there's a people. Yes? There's a prophet. So there's God, there's a prophet, there's a priest, and there's a king. Now, in scripture, you are prophet, priest, and king. You're all three in one. So God can speak to you directly. But we know God has prophets, don't we? But you are prophet, priest, and king because you're in Christ. You can be prophetic, you are a priest, and we're all kings in that sense. So, so on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet. Through the prophet. To Zerubbabel. That's the governor. Yeah? Son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Josiah, son of Jehoiada, the high priest. So it's gone from, through, and to. Now the first word, it came from the Lord. In other words, God is the author, God is the speaker, God is the revealer. We all need to be connected to heaven. Secondly, the word came through the prophet Haggai. He is the servant, is the messenger of the Lord. Thirdly, it came to the governor, it came to Zerubbabel. And it came to the priest, and it came to which were the religious order of the day. And thirdly, it came to the remnant of people called Israel. So we can see there's no limit God cannot reach when he speaks. So when God speaks to a local house, there's no limit to what God can say because we're supposed to be his people. God sees through him speaking to us those things he will do through us. Can you see that? God knows that by speaking to us, he can reach people through us. But the word has to come to a people first, and this is why it's important for you to hear what I'm about to say, because this is what God is saying to us. God is about to go beyond us, but God must speak to us first. I thought I might have heard a bigger amen than that. Can you imagine in our nation, once upon a time this was the case, and obviously all Parliament all was dissolved because people had different agendas under Cromwell. Can you imagine if God can speak directly into the House of Parliament or the House of Lords? Can you imagine what our nation could look like had God had a clear runway right into the House of Number 10? Now, we had that once upon a time. But too many people got in the way, and now church and state, so to speak, are told politics doesn't belong in the church and church don't belong in politics. Rubbish. Absolute nonsense. I said to Phil the other day, next time somebody says that the church doesn't belong in politics, say this to him. Do you believe you have the right to eat? Yes, well, it's a political decision then, isn't it? It's an economical decision, isn't it? Of course it is. You cannot separate church from politics. I didn't say the church has to be political. I said the church has to be involved. There's a big difference there. I don't believe the pulpit is a place for you to be Labour conservative. The pulpit is a place to represent God. God doesn't wear a blue ribbon or a red ribbon. And if he did, he'd be City. He wouldn't be United. Can't support no devil. God does not support politics in that sense. He has not got a rosette on the side. God is God. God knows what our nation needs, and he knows who he needs to get it closer to what he's already chosen for our nation. Amen. So if it's a Boris Johnson or it's not, it's a Sue Johnson. It doesn't matter who's Sue Johnson. Go back to the royal family, you'll find out. So God wants to have his strategic bases covered. The church is a strategic base for speaking to the nation, through the nation, and over the nation. To, through, and over. But God must speak from the heavens first. Now, this is the point. You can go to a lot of churches and find people speaking, but is it God speaking, or is it just someone having something to say? You as the people must decide whether God's speaking. You must decide. Because God will be confirming to you, this is my voice, this is my voice, this is my voice. Just because the preacher gets up and says something, it doesn't mean to say he's hearing God. It just means he's a man with some words in his mouth. You have got to know whether God is speaking through the vessel. You have to. Not because the guy keeps telling you. Now you think I'm undoing myself here. No, I'm not. I'm confident. I know what God is saying. But you must know. You must know. Why? Because the moment you know, you're part of it. Yeah. You're part of it. Some of you came this morning, and some of you came to hear what God is saying. Others are hearing me. But others will hear God through me. Yeah. So, reading the book of Haggai, we can see when God speaks, the first thing God addresses, ready for this, is the issue of time. God issues the time in issue because people have a different perspective of what time it is. Let's read it. Haggai chapter 1, verse 2. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say. So there's an opinion in the people. The people have an opinion. The people have an interpretation. The people have a perception. The people have projections. The people have unanimously agreed what time it is and what time it isn't. So God has to address the people through the prophet, in the life of the governor, in the life of the priest, to speak to the people, because the people are becoming an issue because they have the wrong sense of timing. These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet. Right, God knows what the people have said. Now the word comes through the prophet. God is about to address what the people are saying. Yeah. What the people are thinking. God knows your thoughts. God knows what the people are saying. God knows what the people are saying. Thank goodness. So then God says, I'll find my messenger to go and correct or challenge what the people are saying. This is why the church needs a leader who can hear God. Because God knows what the people are saying. God knew what was going to take place during COVID. God prepares me. Take care, son. Reserve your strength and reserve the strength of the OLDs. Now, if I hadn't listened to that and said, well, God, you know, it's all right. They're all at home. They're not working. They're at home. They don't need any rest. Can you imagine what I could have missed? Or what we could have missed? But God is saying, these are my people, Tony. If you're my leader, do what I tell you to do with my people. They're not your people. Yes, you're right, Lord. Don't burden them. There's enough burdens on them at this point in time. Take all the burdens away from them. Okay, Lord. So this is what he says. Then he comes with the next question in verse 4. So he said, these people say the time has not yet come. And in verse 4, is it time? Now he's asking the question now. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your panelled houses with this house remains in ruins? And the Lord is now asking a question, challenging the thoughts and the opinions of the crowd. So they say the time has not yet come, and now God's saying, is it time? Is it time? And then we go to Haggai chapter 2, and we read, this is what the Lord says in a little while. So we've now got three potential different timings. It's not time, they say. Is it time for you? He's questioning, is it time for you to be living in your panelled houses? And then he goes on, in a little while. In a little while means something is about to happen. And I need to move you people in your thinking. This is what he's saying. I need to move people in their thinking from a question to a certainty. I need to move you from, it's not time, is it time? Two, in a little while, God's about to do something. And now I have to move the people's thinking from that. Now listen, this involves every one of us. Some of us may say, it's not time yet. Is it time? I'm not quite sure. And God said, in a little while. In a little while. We don't know how long a little while is, but it means another time. God is about to move in a different time than your opinion or my opinion. Scripture tells us in 1 Chronicles, you don't need to go there. He said there's a group of people, a tribe of people called the men of Issachar. Yes. The men of Issachar were men on the ground who knew the times of Israel, and they knew what actions needed to be taken in those in that time. They never once questioned, is it time? Or it's not time. They always walk with a sense of what they need to do in the time they were alive. I suggest that's the people of God. That's the New Testament church. We should know. We should know. How do we know? Through hearkening in our ear to the prophetic voice. The prophet is that the prophetic voice is the voice that aligns the church to what God is doing outside the door. I'll say that again because it just went over your head. The prophetic voice is the voice that aligns the church to align themselves with God for what God is doing beyond the church. Yeah. Not inside the church. Because we are too small a group to think God's only doing something with us. But beyond the door is what God's doing in the nations. And God needs to speak inside the church to get the church to align to what God's doing beyond the doors. Yeah. Is that not true? You see, we go to university because we believe we have a career and we have to leave our home to be trained to step into the world so God can lead me. Right, it's the same thing in the church. God speaks. We have a sense of what God is saying. We step out so God can lead us into our destiny. You don't stay at school forever. True? So, if I ask you, do you have time on you, sir? Do you have time on you, sir? Right? John would say, yes. And what John would do is look at his watch. John would automatically go to his wrist and look at his watch and hope that his watch is accurate. And it would keep him in time. But John doesn't have time. John's just relying on his watch, telling him the time. But John doesn't know the time, because John might go, it's around about 2 o'clock. And he looks at his watch and it's actually 4 o'clock. And goes, goodness, where did time go? Well, it was on his wrist. And he wasn't aware of what time it was until somebody asked him. True? If I asked John, what time is it? He instantly would not give me his opinion. He would instantly look at his watch and say, it's now 10 to 12. Now he gives me a more precise answer based on what's on his watch. True? In other words, John now is being asked to share what he knows with me. That's exactly what God is doing. If you don't know what time it is, you don't know what time it is to share what God has shared and told you to do with others. There's a time, you know, as a speaker, there are times when I get thoughts and God says, shut your mouth. I didn't tell you to share that with these people. You've not even thought this through. You've not worked it through. You've not let the word prune you, prove you. And you want to share it straight away. Yes, and I know sometimes I'm not at liberty to say certain things to you as a congregation. Why? You're not ready, I'm not ready. Okay? And there's other times, every Sunday you come in here, you expect to have some bread. So something has to be said. But I've not just come to give you bread, I've come to give you seed. Because tomorrow you'll be hungry. Today you're hungry. Tomorrow you'll be hungry. And the day after. Well, guess what? You're not coming back to the church every day to be fed by bread. Man shall not live by, but by every word. So we're trying to empower you to go away and feed yourself. So God can speak to you, so you can speak to others about God. So if we look at about this timing issue in the church, Ecclesiastes 3:1 tells us There's a time for everything. But do you know what time it is for everything that needs to be done? So there's a time for everything. But it's not always the time for you to do anything. But there is a time for everything. But there's not a time for you to do anything and try and do everything. It's time for you to do what God's telling us to do. Not just do anything, but do what God's telling us to do. It's not time for me to build a ministry and just build my ministry and use you. That's not the time. That's not what I'm here for. My role is to build you. My role is to build you to get you out those doors. It's not my time to build me. Hello? It's my time to build you. It's my time to build, to work with God and let God build me. Hello, are you getting this? I'm not using you so I can stand on a bigger platform. You should say amen at that point. Many men are trying to use the congregation so they can get on a higher platform. I'm already 6'4". I don't need to be any higher. So there's a time for everything. But you haven't got energy for everything, have you, John? Right, if you haven't got energy for everything, therefore, there's a time for something. Right now, it's time for some of our young'uns to go to university. Right now, it's time for this wonderful couple to be married. See how they look right now? 6 months' time, see if they're still looking as bright. I'm sure they will. They will. I know you will. It's not, you can only do things in the strength and the energy you've got. Some people say, well, I haven't got time for that. But it's a time for everything. But it's not a time for anything. It's a time for something. So, Genesis 6, you don't have to turn to it, I'll read it to you. Genesis 6, 5 to 7, it says this, and the Lord saw how great man's wickedness was. Watch this, God moves in time. And when the timing of God always has this distinct action. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and on that very inclination of his thoughts, of his heart, he knew that man's thoughts were evil all of the time. So the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I'll wipe mankind whom I've created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground. I am grieved that I have made them, but Noah found favor with God. So God's found a man. So heaven's speaking. So now God is speaking to the man on the ground from, through, to. Watch. Now let's pick it up in Genesis 8, 12. And he waited 7 more days. 7 more days. It doesn't seem a long time, but it is. Watch this. And then he sent the dove out. The dove was an action. The dove was part of God's strategic plan to show Noah the end of the flood is coming and it's time for you to open the ark and get out. It's a new day. You see, when God told Noah to build an ark, is Noah could turn around and say, is it really time? No, it is time. But the Lord, the people out there are saying, is it really time? But Noah, I've told you it's time. And in a short while, they wish they would have heard. Because I'm about to do something. But at that time God spoke, they didn't see in a time later. They couldn't deal with the instruction that was given. And what I'm trying to help us to see this morning is that when the word comes, God's asking us to appraise the timing, what God is saying in the time we receive it. Yeah. Because in a little while, God is about to do something in another time frame. Yeah. And if you don't open the ark, if you don't build the ark, you can't open the ark. Yeah. Not Noah's ark, Noah's ark. If you can't build in a time when God tells you to build and build accurately what God's telling you to build in the way that God's telling you, you know in that next portion of time, it can be a destruction. Yeah. So he says, at this time, God, the dove, but this time it did not return to him. By the first day of the first month, Noah's 601st year. You think the guy's got time to burn, but he hasn't. He's OLD. But the water had dried up from the earth. Then Noah removed the covering from the ark. I'm telling you, it's time to remove the covering from the ark. It's time to remove the covering from the ark. Let the world see who we are. And from the ark, and he saw that the surface of the ground was dry. God has given us dry ground. Then Genesis 18:10. And he says, then the Lord said, I surely will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah's wife will have a son. How many of you know there's a right time to have a child? God spoke from heaven, from, through, and to. And then guess what? In a year's time, when God comes back, she'll have a child. If God didn't appear, if God didn't speak at this time, there would be no time to come. Some of you are waiting to carry some things and birth some things, but you've got to get the word in you first. The seed you need is the word. That is the catalyst for everything else that God is promising you and talking to you about. You need the word seed first. And then Exodus 23:15, it says, celebrate the feast. Now, feasts in the Old Testament always were celebrated around a distinct time. If you got the timing wrong, you were in trouble. Feasts reminded Israel of the timings and seasons of God. And if they did not celebrate at the time they were told, they were in trouble. Yes? So feasts are an essential part of Israel's history. God guided Israel through the feasts. Because the feast always pointed to a time when God did something, said something, or would do something. Amen? Are you getting this? And then he says, celebrate the feast of unleavened bread. For 7 days, eat bread. 7 days, the exact time. That's the actions that need to take place during these 7 days, he's saying. And make bread without yeast, as I've commanded you. Do this at an appointed time. In the month of Abib. For in that month you came out of Egypt. No one is to appear before me empty handed. And Psalm 145 said, the eyes of the Lord look to you and to give them the food at their proper time. God's eyes are looking at us to give you your food at the proper time. Yeah. Why? Because at the proper time, there will be something required. Yeah. Do you know when your mother creates food, what's the instruction she gives you? Tea's ready, get your backside at the table. And you sit there and you think you've got all day. And then the next command comes, now. Right now, get your backside at this table right now, because it's only hot once. And we're not doing microwave. It came from the oven. Sit at the table, eat the food. It's not going back in the microwave. Because microwave meals means you wasn't on time. You let your food go cold. So, what time is it, church? What time is it? Well, is it time for you to panic? Is it time for you to bail out? Is it time to run scared? Gas, oil, Is it time to plant? Is it time for you to invest some money? Yes. Is it time to pay off some debt? Yes. Is it time to get in debt?
No.
Within reason, obviously, you've got to buy a house, that's different. Is it time for you to downsize? Is it time for you to propose? The man already did it. But you see, even proposal is only one step. Now he's got to take it to action. He's got to take it to the place called complete. What time is it? Can anyone tell me what time is it? What time is it in your personal world? Is it time to get a job? Is it time to get a fresh promotion? Is it time for you to leave that job and move to something different? You've got to know what time it is. Is it time for you to retrain? Is it time for me to retire? Or is it time to listen to someone Is it time you observe something new? Is it time for you to let go and surrender? Is it time for you to put some things down? I don't know what time it is. Can anybody tell me the time? What time is it politically in the nation? Well, we know it's time for a new prime minister. We know it's time for a president to come along. And we know it's time Russia had a new one as well. It's time for economies to be upside down. It's the time for gas prices to rise. Oil prices. It's the time for the world to be in upside down. But you must keep your head in all situations. That's the time for you. What time is it? Can anybody tell me? What time is it? What time is it for the church? What time is it for the Dream Centre? I'm glad you asked. Haggai chapter 1 says, then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, son Joshua, and Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people, watch this, they obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and the message of the prophet. They acknowledged that the message that came from heaven was the one coming through the mouth of the speaker. Hello? And they were glad that the Lord had sent him. They were glad that someone could hear God on their behalf. And the people feared God. And the people feared God. Let me say that again. The whole remnant, that's you, of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord. Step one, there's the first action. Number two, and they were glad that the Lord had sent the messenger to speak the word. They acknowledged that what was coming from heaven and through his mouth was of God. And thirdly, the people began to fear the Lord. The people began to fear the Lord. People began to fear the Lord. This is the difference. This is what God needs in his house. People who fear God. People who fear God, generally fear God. People who respect when the word of God is coming through the mouth of God's servant, they hearken their ears. People who acknowledge it's not just the speaker, but it's where the voice is coming from, where the words are coming from. My friends, tune your ears to know what time it is. And then the Lord, part of that message that when God spoke to me in the forest, you see, God speaks to you in the forest. You know why? Because in the forest is so much potential. The forest seems empty, but it's loaded with potential. Some people see trees, others see boats, houses, furniture. All that can be made from the forest is in the forest. Paper. All that we need is in the forest. But if you just see trees, you're blind. So God takes you to the forest to show you the possibilities. And as I was going through the forest, and it seemed lonely, and I can still see it as clear as I'm seeing you today, that dream was so, so real. It was 3D. What's the latest TV? K, was it? I don't know, 4K, whatever it is. Special K, whatever it is. I was watching it, and I could see, and I had panoramic vision, and I knew exactly where I was, whose voice I was listening to, and what I was coming out of. And I knew that there was another day for me. Do you understand this? I understand there was another day for us. It wasn't as bleak as it looked, but it felt powerful. It felt, man, I took a battering. But yeah, I knew we was going to reassemble and regather and come to a new place and a new time where our strength would be renewed. And God would rest on us. And he says, go again. But this time you've now got energy. But because you did what I asked you to do, when they go again, there'll be more energy because of what you did. Yeah. And then he says, Haggai chapter 2. And this is the message that God has told me to tell the OLDs. So if you're OLD this morning, Please listen up. It's your time. Are you ready for this? It's your time. Haggai, he says, who of you is left? Now, he's speaking to people who's got longevity, who's been around. Some of you are still left from the original that first came. Some of you, if we mention some names, you go, oh, I remember her. Oh, I remember him. Oh, I remember them. I don't remember half the crew that Gwen can tell you. She can tell you. Harry Gosling. I remember Harry Gosling, in all fairness. And we can go back and go through a load of names. Gwen says, oh, I remember her. Oh, I remember him. I remember them. I remember them. And as you speak to some of the other OLDs, oh, I remember her. Sonia could say the same. Oh, I remember Jimmy. I remember him. And when you look at the old photographs, they can say, is that looking at the old football team? The black and white football team. Oh, I remember them. I remember him. I remember. Oh, she was rum. He was rum. Oh. And they know. But us, we don't know. So God asks you, those who have been in the game a long time and on the horse, what does it look like? Who is left who saw this house in its former glory? He's asking you, OLDs. How does it look to you now? He's asking you a question. Does it not seem to you like nothing? Wow. But now, ready? But now, be strong. O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord, be strong. So, be strong, governor. Be strong, priest. Be strong, people. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. And work. Yeah. And work. Yeah. And work. And work. That's the word the Lord's saying to you. Be strong and work. Yeah. Why? Because I preserve your strength for you. Because your best days have not yet been witnessed. Yeah. But you've got to work. Yeah. Not as you think, nah, I'm too old now. Work is the word the Lord's given you. Yeah. But I'm old. Work. Yeah. And then he says this, for I am with you, declares the Lord. Amen. Work. Why? Because I'm with you. Work. Why? Because I've told you. Who is left, he says. Who is left? In other words, if you're still around, thank God. Thank God you're still around. Who saw this house in its former glory? Thank God you've still got a memory. Thank God you've still got your memory. How does it look now? He's actually telling you. He's asking you, come on, tell me, I'm inclined. What is your perspective? It's a fresh challenge. And he's asking you, be strong, I am with you. That's hope for our future. And then he says this, and we'll finish on this. Let's go back. Haggai chapter 1, verse 13. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave the message to the Lord, to the people. I am with you. So we need to hear. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel. The Lord now begins to move. He stirs up the spirit of Zerubbabel. So the governor's now on board. And then he says, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah. And he stirs up the spirit of the priest. Watch this. And the spirit of the whole remnant of the people of God. I've been praying since I've had this word. I had this word 2 weeks ago. And I've been praying, Lord, stir the hearts of your people. Stir them. And last week I saw it gloriously. I saw it gloriously. And I saw OLDs. I saw young people. I saw middle-aged people like myself. I saw us all working together, all pulling together, all with one common goal. And it was glorious. I saw the young'uns, the old'uns, and the very old'uns. And he says this, and he stirred the spirit of the whole remnant of the people, and they came and began to work. in the house of the Lord Almighty God. Be strong, O son of Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O dream center, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. Do we need any more confirmation, any more word that God says? And then Peter says this concerning the salvation of the prophets who spoke at the grace that was come to. They searched intently. They searched. Now watch this. They searched intently. Prophets was looking for the time that God was about to do what he was speaking about. 1 Peter 1 verse 10, he says, and concerning the salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, they searched for the grace that was coming to you and me. They searched intently with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing, when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. And it was revealed, watch this, and it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves. Yeah. When they spoke the things that have now been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you. We're not serving ourselves. We're serving what God has spoken. We must see the bigger picture. So I would ask everyone to stand, if they will, please. And I want to recommission you once again. Now you've heard the word of the Lord. Go to work. And you think, Lord, what we need a bigger workforce. Don't worry, help's on its way. Those who received the prophetic roadmap that we gave in building the Spirit, that is God's confirmation that God is about to move. Now in our next building Spirit, I'm going to make an announcement that's going to excite you. Because God is already moving. God is already beginning to answer that prayer. And I'm going to tell you what's on the way. Because I only announce it in a prayer environment. Because that's the environment to pray. Now, if you don't pray, that's fine. But some of us will pray. Why? Because some of us want to take this thing to the next level. Amen. Amen. So, now you've heard what God is saying. Now we've come through COVID. Now we're back together. Now some of you have been preserved. The young ones have got energy. But my age and upwards, God is speaking to us. He's speaking to every one of us. And he's saying it's time to acknowledge the word of the Lord. It's come to us again. And it's time to go to work. It is not a time for you to come to hold back and to think, well, I'm going to sit at home. I'm not going to do this. Use your energy you've got. Use your strength you've got. Use your willingness. Use your gifts. God says, get to work. That's the word to you. Now, if you want to have longevity in your life and blessings, you've got to obey what God says. Because yeah. I know preserving you was a key. And now God has preserved us for this moment. Your finest moment is ahead of you. Yeah. And it comes to my mind, we're not serving ourselves, we're serving others. When I look at those people we reached last week, we couldn't have reached them had we not served. So, Father, I present this people to you today. Lord, we stand before you, Lord. We acknowledge what heaven is saying. In a little while, you're about to shake the heavens and the earth. Yeah. You're about to shake our streets. You're about to shake. And, Lord, and you're about to loosen. And you're about to move. And you're about to use this remnant group of people. Lord, we seem so small to do what you're asking us to do. And the job seems so big for us to do, accomplish, Lord. But Lord, you've given us resources and people. You've given us hearts. You've given us skills. And Lord, I pray, oh God, link us together. Link us together, Lord, to become an unstoppable force. Amaze us, oh God. Go before us, oh God. And Lord, we go confidently, Lord, knowing that you are with us. That you have made the ground dry for us. You're telling us to open the ark. You're telling us to go. And I pray, Father, Lord, that you will put it in people's hearts to reassemble, to join their strength alongside others. And Father, that you would make all things possible in this house. Come on, just raise your hands if you will and say, Lord, I hear what you're saying this morning. I hear what you're saying, oh God. I acknowledge the words coming from heaven. From, through, and now it's come to me. Show me my part, oh God. Change my attitude. Give me strength for the journey. I'm all in, oh God, all in. I'm all in, oh God. With all that I have, all that I am, all that I've got, Lord, I'm all in. Oh, Father. Through the mighty name of Jesus, we ask now, forevermore. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.